Heavenly Father, we praise you, we worship you, Lord.
Glory, glory.
God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you for this time, O Father.
Amen.
As we sang, O Father, all other ground is sinking sand, but on Christ the rock we stand, O Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
We stand in the revelation of your word, we stand. Amen. In your truth, we stand. In the revealed truth for this time, O Father. And we know that, Lord, you are perfecting the saints, you are perfecting our hearts, you are bringing us closer to you each and every day, O God.
Amen.
As we are growing in this revelation, O Father, it is like a fire, O Lord, which comes out of your mouth and burns in our hearts, O Father.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you for this wonderful love, and thank you for this fellowship as we are gathered here once again. I just pray that, Lord, you take control of the whole service, of Father. That each and every ear that will hear, O God, will get close to you and sanctify my lips,
yes,
Father,
Lord.
As I'm going to preach your word, of Father. Commit everything, O Lord, into thy hands. At this time, we remember all our brothers and sisters all over the world who are having this fellowship, O Father, that your grace will be there and be expressed, O Father. Come at everything, O Lord, into their hands. In Jesus' precious name, I ask this prayer.
Amen.
May you be seated. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, it's been wonderful for me to come and have fellowship with you people. And I just had been to, you know, Cambodia for 2 weeks. And it was wonderful. Though I didn't have many services over there, but brother took me to one province, and there was an opening in the capital of Nom Phan, you see, of Cambodia. That is what brother Israel was very happy. He said, brother, for a long time we didn't have an opening. You see, when I went over there, it got into my mind to meet an Indian pastor. You see, so I asked his brother, I've heard, you see, in my place that there are a lot of Indians settled down here. So they searched for an Indian pastor, and they found one brother, you know, one pastor who's come all the way from Nagaland, and his name is Angon Kikon, I believe. Something, Kikon, he said. And they found this pastor, and we had an entry. So Brother Israel went and gave Brother Gant charts and the book of Revelation. And that pastor invited me for a Sunday service. And that is how we were able to now enter into this capital. And I believe that God will use Brother Israel in the coming days so that, you know, he can do a better work in the capital of Cambodia. And also that we had we went to another province. I don't remember the name of the province, but there was a pastor who was under a Presbyterian church, but by some Korean group which has come and built a church for him. But he said that he's working individually, independently now. And we preached the truth there, and there the people were all like, you know, as they didn't even know the ABCs of the Bible. You see, if we have to go and preach in a church, they should at least know the scriptures, you know, properly read the scriptures, have some knowledge about the Bible. But in today's time, it is always like this. You see, people give more importance to just worship the Lord. Nobody is bothered about reading the scriptures. Nobody is bothered about studying the scriptures. At least you may not have the revelation of the scriptures, but at least read the scriptures.
Amen.
Thank God, you know, in my old times, I came, when I got converted, my old pastor, he was a Pentecostal man, but he used to give us good training in reading the scriptures. He said, brother, whether you understand the scriptures or not, you just read the scriptures. You see? And those were the days when we, as young boys, used to go and just read, just keep on reading. The time came when the Lord really gives the revelation, made us understand the scriptures in different ways. So I preached to those people about the basic things of what the Bible is. See, like how the Bible is like a fire, where the Bible is like a hammer, the Bible is like the sword, See, the Bible is like the milk of the Word. So I gave him all the basic things. What is the Bible? So you have to read the Bible to get closer to God. And I believe those people were blessed, and they have invited Brother Israel once again. And their Brother Israel, again, he gave the charts and some books. I think the book of Revelation. So I think God is going to do some work over there in that place. And many ministers have come before. Brother Gann has visited. Brother James Veramu, Blessing Knives, Andrew Ferry. All of his ministers, we are doing our part. The Lord will bring the harvest. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the last Sunday, when I preached in Cambodia, there were a lot of young people. I met some university students, you know. And I had the desire. But one brother is leading those young people. That leader was a bit in two minds, you know. He knew that he had to be baptized in Jesus Christ's name. Because I opened up the scriptures and made it very clear to the people. There were about, from Pastor Israel's congregation, I think around 7 to 8 people committed for baptism. And most probably they are going to have the baptism this Sunday. You see? But the young group, which is led by another brother, that brother was a little double-minded. The people were ready, but the leader is not ready. You see, he it's like he's bringing a kind of obstacle. So, but I told him very openly, brother, you come once again, sit with Brother Israel, sit down and have a talk with him. See that you, because if you being a leader, you want to do the ministry and you don't lead the people to the foundation of God, don't lead them to the Word of God, then where are you going to lead them? There is only two ways. You see, today there is one way which is the way leading to God's throne, and there is another way which is leading to hell. If you are not going to lead the people to the truth of God, to the Word of God, then you are going to lead people to hell. You see? And ministers have to be very careful, those who think they have a ministry, they have to be very careful on how they are leading the people. So I just pray for that brother. I think God will soon open his eyes to see the truth, so that he will have. He's saying, brother, I know this is the truth, but there is a kind of fear. But he openly confessed. He said, I have a kind of fear to commit myself. Maybe that morning he had a talk with his. He actually wanted to be baptized. He said, brother, I want you to baptize. And Brother Israel said, brother, I'll be glad if you baptize him. I said, okay, if you want me to baptize him, I will baptize him. He came ready, you see, he was sitting, he came 6-7 o'clock in the morning, he came, we were supposed to go to a river, but when he came and confessed, brother, I'm not yet ready, I'm a bit of two mind. I said, if you're in two mind, then it's better you don't get baptized. But brother, make yourself clear. And then you get baptized and then you lead the people to the truth. But Brother Israel and Sister Deborah, both of them are, especially Brother Israel, is doing a very good job over there. He's working. Sometimes it's very hard, you know, to be all alone and to do the work. And sometimes I even look at Brother Gann. I've always thought in my mind, you know, from maybe from 73, brother, you've been working. Yes. And every time Brother Gann came, you know, presenting the truth, you know, he was all alone, I would say. Nobody to support what he preaches from the Word, nobody to support the revelation which the Lord gave him. But I remember in 93, I believe, in Nasrapur. That was the time I was there as an 18-year-old boy. I watched Brother Gann preach, and I was very much touched. The 5 days meeting was like, you know, it was heaven on earth. That is what I should say. And there were nearly 150 pastors who were, 150 people who were invited. And the meeting went on for 5 days, morning, evening, afternoon, you see. And those were wonderful days where we really got a foundation. There was a foundation laid in our hearts. So I really sometimes look at Brother Gann, and many of us have taken him as an example, you know, to stay alone. Even now in India, I am working all alone. There are not many people to support, you see. And many times I have gone on my knees and crying. I said, Lord, I have not yet received one good partner. You see, when you go home, where you go and you preach, and there are people calling different kinds of names, you know, they put you to shame, they come against you. When you go back home, you're all alone. There is nobody even to comfort your heart, you see, to say something good. I know my wife is there, my family is there, but that is not enough. I always think I need some preacher brother or some minister who's strong in the faith, you know, will come and sit down and say, Brother Shadrach, don't worry. But always I have to be alone. So it happened that I prayed to the Lord, you see. I said, Lord, I don't have a partner. I prayed for many months. I would say even years. Then one day in my prayer, still voice comes, are you not happy that I am your partner? You see? Then I actually got a start. Then I realized, Lord, I'm sorry. Because sometimes as human beings, we don't realize. We don't see in the flesh. We know the Lord is there, but we know He's here. We know He's walking here. We know that He's standing and watching each and every one, and He's looking at the hearts of the people. But we don't see. So, in the flesh, we become so tired. In the flesh, we sometimes, you know, we want some comfort. We want somebody to hold our hands and say, don't worry, but then we know the best comfort that we receive is from through this Word of God. Through the Scriptures. Do not fear, the Lord says. And that word is more than enough, I believe. And thank you for Brother Gann for setting an example to many of the young boys in those days. So today, I have learned to stand alone. See, when I go for ministry to Andaman, I'm all alone. I went last time when I went to Andaman, I had a meeting, the nearly 50 pastors had come, I mentioned to you last time. Nearly 50 pastors' family had come and gathered and I preached alone. You see, the person who was translating for me, he was also part of a system. And now, in the month of May 8th, they have decided the date and they said, Brother, when I was in Cambodia, I'm receiving messages. Pastor, we are waiting, the islands are waiting for you. So they have gone and called so many ministers now. Some of the ministers who were touched in that pastor's conference, they go from one island to another, you know, they're calling and they want to arrange a crowd of 1,000 to 2,000 people. And said, Brother, we want you to come and preach there. And when I go this time again, I'm going alone. But I'm not alone, but I know that the Lord is with me. You see, as long as we have the Word, the revelation of the Word, the Lord is with us. So, please do pray for my ministry. After in the month of May, I'll be going to Andaman, and after that in the month of June, I'm planning to go to the northern side of India, that is Punjab, Haryana and Himachal Pradesh. And again, we had in Punjab, I had invited nearly 80 pastors conference, you see, and those pastors want me to come back again. So I just pray that God will do something in this place. And all those days of in the early days that we used to cry to the Lord, ask the Lord, Lord, use us, Lord, do something. You see, and now all those prayers are being heard today, and I can see now the Lord is slowly taking my ministry I told the people I'm not mixing with anybody. As Brother Gann has been always fighting, you know, with this Branhamism kind of spirit. All his life, I think it really needs a lot of patience to really fight with this, keep on fighting with the spirit day by day. It's not an easy thing. Because so many spirits are behind all these arguments. There are so many evil spirits, you know. And there is so much of pressure on your mind. So much you... That's a very... I don't have words to express the burden, you see. So, brother has been fighting, and we are also trying, I am also trying my best to show the people the truth, that there was nothing wrong with Brother Branham, nothing wrong with his message, but there is something really wrong with the people who have understood the, who try to interpret the message. You see, God had already given him a revelation. We thank the Lord that the Lord really sent an Elijah ministry so that, you know, he will turn our hearts back to the Father's faith. But since we have come now to the faith, now our duty is to look in the Word, look here to the truth, search the Scriptures and find out what God has to speak. And that is what the Lord is expecting from us. So, I've been working alone, and I think that God will give me the grace and strengthen me. And let's go to the message today. I got up as usual at 4:30 in the morning to prepare a little message. Let's first read the book of Revelation, chapter 1. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, 16 and 17. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the message that I want to bring today is the power of the right hand of God. This is going to be my title today. And I pray the Lord will strengthen me to speak His word. We all know that today there is a ministry going on within the bride. And I believe very strongly it is a fivefold ministry. I remember the time before I explain, because when I'm going to speak, give the message, I want to add some little personal experience of mine, you know, so that I think it will be helpful for you also to understand some things. I remember the first time, it was in Nathrapur convention in 93, that really I understood there was something called as fivefold ministry. Or maybe for the first time I would have read that scripture, which is in Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, I was a small boy, I was just an 18-year-old boy, so it's okay for me. But there were many pastors who had come to that meeting who were first time reading the scripture. And I knew that. You see, when Brother Gann was pointing out to those scriptures, you know, first time they all taking the scriptures and reading, oh, there is some scripture. Because people were so much immersed with the quotes. You see, they not just reading the message, but they take a portion of quotes and preaching doctrines from the quotes. And that was the first time many ministers who had come over there must have really heard that God can speak through the fivefold ministry. They got the knowledge that that was a fivefold ministry.
Yes.
And continuing with that, you know, I had a very big desire. I had a desire to called Brother Gann to India. And it was in 95, I think Brother Gann agreed to come to India. And in 95, we had a meeting, and I had invited, given an invitation to nearly 150 pastors all over my state of Tamil Nadu. And so many pastors came, and again, that was the first time all those pastors who visited, you saw, who were new to the convention, the first time, they're looking at the scripture in Ephesians that there is a fivefold ministry. And today I'm so happy. I was just at that time in 95, I was a 21-year-old boy. I had no experience. But you see, I should thank Brother Gann for the encouragement, you see. I was just 21 years, no experience in ministry, no experience in anything before. Just the Lord called me and I was fresh and I came. And I was able to gather 150 pastors over there, and that was 3 days. The meeting was so powerful. Brother Gann was proving the points from the scriptures according to the fivefold ministry. And I think that actually was a foundation in Tamil Nadu for most of the pastors to start believing in fivefold ministry. But many of them are not going to confess that. That is because of the ego. But that is I know, and I'm a witness for that. That was the first time the blessing of the fivefold ministry came to Tamil Nadu. So I thank the Lord for that wonderful time. So now this fivefold ministry is something, I know Brother Gann must have, he's been preaching in your church and you people must have learned so many things, but I would like to bring the thoughts which the Lord put in my mind to understand the same thing. I want to speak from my side. I don't want to believe in fivefold ministry just because Brother Gann spoke, but I want to speak about fivefold ministry because it is in the Bible, and I believe that the Word of God has proved to us that today the Lord is taking the church to the fivefold ministry. So let us go to read the same scripture and the book of Revelation chapter 1 and the 16th verse. And he had in his right hand 7 stars. And the 17th verse says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. That is why I chose the title, The Power of the Right Hand of God. We all know the right hand has 5 fingers. So there is a power which comes out from the right hand of God. There is a blessing which comes from the right hand of God. When we are seeking God, we are not here to seek, look at the right hand, but we are here to look at the face of God. When we look at the face of God, then we know that God is showing His hand to bless us. Hallelujah. There are many people who just look at the hand of God because they want blessings. Because blessings come from the hand. But God is not telling us to look at the hand. Lord is telling us to look at Him, look at His face. When we look at the face of God, then the Lord is lifting up His right hand to bless us. Hallelujah. So there is a power in the right hand. And again we see in the mystery that within these 5 fingers, God has kept the mystery of the 7 stars. So I give praise to the name of the Lord, and I'm going to explain more on this thing. Let us go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, 7 to 13. I want somebody from the congregation to read it. Ephesians chapter 4, 7 to 13.
But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Amen. May God's name be glorified. Now when Paul comes here in the book of Ephesians, Paul has something special to speak about the ministry. When the church actually started, when the apostolic church started, it started with a big bang. Because we know that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell upon the church, and the church was so powerful, manifesting the very life of Christ. So this church, this bride, was led by a ministry. This bride was led by a ministry. And this ministry was born because Jesus Christ died, rose again, and ascended up to the Father. That is what we see in the 9th verse. Now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things, and he gave some apostles and some prophets. Because Jesus Christ rose And he was lifted up to the Father's glory. He left some gifts on this earth. You see here, the gifts are not the gifts of the fruits of the Spirit or something to do with the miracles or with the gifts of the Spirit. But here the men are the gifts to the church. God has placed some gifts. Now who are the gifts? The gifts are the men. You see, God is placing a ministry. God is placing few men to lead the bride, to lead the church according to His plan and purpose. So, the men here who possess the ministry, the men here who have received the grace from God, they are the gifts to the church. When I say this, then here we need to really watch the ministers of God who are leading us. We really need to give all respect to the ministers of God who are leading the church of God. Because this is not a ministry which has come by man. This is not a ministry which man has called. This is a ministry which God has called and God has placed. Because it is the blessing of the right hand of God. Hallelujah. So Paul says here in the 7th verse, but unto every one of us is given grace. Everybody does not possess, everybody does not have the same amount of grace. God has called people to grace. God has given grace to people. We all have received grace. In part, we all have grace to do certain things. We all have talents. We all have, some have the gifts of singing. Some have the gifts of playing music. Some have the gifts of comforting others. You know, there are many kinds of gifts, but this is something special. This grace has been given to lead the ministry in the right way, to lead the people in the path where God has called the people to come. And he's saying it's a grace which has been given. So Paul is bringing this thing in the book of Galatians. We'll read some of few more scriptures to understand it better. The book of Galatians chapter 2. Maybe Galatians chapter 1 and the 15th verse. We'll read it first. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. Now here is a place where Paul is trying to show every minister of God who has been called to do service is called by grace alone. There is no glory for man. God does not see the worthiness of man and He calls him. Yes, Moses. I've always wondered about Moses. Moses was called to do a service for God. Right? He had a very big call. Really, he had to break down a nation and separate the nation of God. Separate the people of God and make them a nation. And this Moses, who was called by God, we know that he was a murderer. And then we find when he goes to the mountain to receive the holy tablets, to receive the holy commandments of the Lord, through Moses the Lord is actually writing, do not commit, do not murder, do not kill. And again the Lord is extending His law. If somebody will kill, he has to be killed. But Moses was not killed. Because in that burning bush, in the place where he went to meet God face to face, he found grace. Hallelujah. He saw the face of God. He saw the forgiveness of God. So God did not call Moses because Moses was a good man. God did not call Moses because Moses had some talent. Moses had many talents. He could have been a next Pharaoh in Egypt. But God did not call Moses based on all his human strength or human talents. It was just the grace of God that called Moses to come to the burning bush, see the face of God, and then God committed a big work to him. And so we see here Paul is telling about the grace. He's saying a grace came to Paul. God called him by grace. There was something, a divine. The divine from above, a voice from above. The voice of God called Paul, brought him to this fivefold ministry to make him understand. And this call, he was recognized by other ministers. That is what Paul is saying in the book of Galatians chapter 2. And 8 and 9 verse, maybe somebody from the congregation can read the scripture, Galatians chapter 2, 8 and 9.
For he that robbed effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that he should go into the heathen, and they unto the circumcision.
Hallelujah. Grace not only calls a man, but the grace of God decides what that man must do. And Paul is a man not only called by God, but Paul first recognized his calling. The calling of God comes to a person. And then it is recognized by those who are working for God already. That is how the Lord confirms. No man can say somebody, oh man, you're called to come and do service for God. Nobody can say that. Maybe it can be a prophecy. Maybe God can reveal something. But a minister receives his calling within. It is there in his heart. It is sealed in his heart. Now you see, when I had been to this Nasrapur convention, because I keep on speaking about that, you know, again and again, because that is my foundation. I knew before that, you know, God had a work for me. But I didn't know what. How God is going to call me, how God is going to use me, what kind of work I have, and how, what is the meaning of ministry. I didn't know anything. I just knew that some desire was just being, what is burning in my heart, that I have to do service for God. And that is the time when I asked Brother Gann, I said, Brother, I have a question. Personally, I went and asked him, I don't know, Brother Gann, whether you remember that. Because so many things are already there in your mind. You see, I went there and asked Brother Gann, I want to ask you something. I have a feeling that the Lord is calling me, but I don't know how to confirm my calling. I don't know how the Lord will speak. So Brother Gann gave me a very simple and beautiful advice. He said, Shadrach, if you feel the Lord is calling you, you have to do something. How many people are there in your place? I said, Brother, we are just 5 to 7 people who have gathered. And we are praying on a hill. We didn't even have a church, you know, in my place. Because I had just left a very big denomination in Coimbatore and I did not have a church. So there was a small hill where I used to go and take my guitar, and I was learning my guitar, just play the guitar, sit down, sing, pray. You see, we used to stay at 12 o'clock in the night, 1 o'clock in the night. Some of the young boys used to just go and pray, you see. And I said, Brother, we are gathering on a hill. We don't even have a place to actually worship. And we don't have income. We are all just young boys without work. So we don't have any income. So he said, you have to do something. Just go. And all of you brothers gather together and start to pray. You make a day for fasting and prayer and you start praying. And as you're praying, I believe the Lord will speak to the hearts of everyone. Only among all these 7 people, only one can lead. So you just pray and ask the Lord. You see, listening to this advice, I said I should go. Then I went home immediately. You know, I went after I left the convention center. I went home back, 1,500 kilometers back to my place, and I told my all the other brothers who had gathered, I said, let's all team up. God has to do something. But I did not tell them that I'm having a feeling that the Lord is leading me. Because they shouldn't think, oh, you're trying to rule us or what? They will try to ask me. So I said, I'll just keep my mouth shut. We'll just go and pray. We all started to pray. You see, as I was praying, I could see a burning desire in my heart. There was a burning desire in my heart. I wanted to do, something is telling me that God has called me for the ministry. But still I wanted confirmation. We finished praying. Then I just looked at all the brothers, and some of the brothers looked at me, and I said, brothers, we are prayed now. Who should lead among us? You will not believe it, you know. All the six hands pointed to me. They said, brother, the Lord is telling that you should lead. See, and that was the joy, that was the confirmation. I was very happy. But God, though God had this calling for me, the devil wanted to distract me from this calling. God wanted me to serve Him as a full time. But the problem was, I did not have so much of faith. My mother, my father just, you know, my father had just, mother and father were separated. We didn't have much income in our home. My mother's sister was a widow. Her two daughters were under my care. So I had to work. I had to do something. But God was telling, put your trust in me and come. But you know, that is a place where I actually disobeyed the Lord. I never gave importance to the calling. God was angry with me. It happens, you see, when even when the Lord called Moses, how many questions Moses is asking the Lord? And then the scripture says the Lord was angry with Moses because he went on questioning the Lord. He had doubts in his mind. See, he said, Lord, I cannot speak, I cannot do this, what should I say there? When I go there, what people will ask me? So many questions were coming in the mind of Moses, and God was angry with him. So I had this doubt in my mind. I said, if I come to a full-time ministry, how the Lord will lead me? What will I eat? I have to go. I have to feed a big family. And so many things were there in my mind. So I told the Lord, Lord, I will do business and then I'll do ministry. You see? Now today I really regret for those days, because I could have spent all that money on, you know, I could have built a church, made a big church, if I had really, you know, understood the Lord's plan. But you see, I went into business. I said, I will do timber. I'll become a timber merchant. I said, Lord, I will earn money and I will build your, and I'll do the ministry work. And you know, when you go as a businessman, especially in India, if you are a businessman, your whole life is full of lies. Now, I don't know, but here when I came, you know, here the laws are very, very strict and strong, and I didn't see one person spitting around, you see. In my India, everywhere, ha, too. Maybe I think people are spitting on India. This is our condition here. Because so much of pollution, you see. And so, at least Coimbatore, Brother Gan actually supports Coimbatore, I believe. He's gone to so many places in India. He said, Coimbatore is okay. You see, I said, my God. Thank God, at least Brother Gan could say something good about India. Coimbatore has got its place. See, there, here the laws are very strict, you know, how you have to go in the bus and train and things like that. Things are very strict here. But in my place, it is not like that. If I do a timber business, you know, I have to bribe the forest officers. Give them something. Though to take my pass for cutting the trees, I have to bribe them. Then when I come around, then I have to bribe the person sitting in the check post. If I don't give them money, they will ask me, you see, from one state to another, when I go, they say, we have to give them a bottle of liquor. I said, I will not give liquor and all those things. I wanted to be, you know, a holy man. I said, I'll not give liquor. But then you give us some bribe. Okay, I said, okay, little. You see, this does not trouble my conscience. He wants money, I'll give him the money. Then as we go down, we come close to Coimbatore, you see, on the way, all the patrolling police and everyone, whoever, even a little policeman, just stop the lorry, say, I'll give something. You see, you just have to give them something. And every time I went to do the service for God, do this business, God spoke to me through Haggai. And He said, go to the mountains, cut the trees, and build me a temple. I said, Lord, I'm doing timber business. And you're speaking just exactly like, you know, in my tone, the Lord is speaking to me. So I said, yes, that is what I'm doing. I'm going to the mountains, you know, brother knows about those hills here, mountains in near Coimbatore. You see different places, you have all hills, big hill stations, and people stay, and it's a very cold place and nice. So, Lord, I'm going to the mountains. I'm cutting trees, logs. I'm bringing it to my market and I'm selling it. I'm doing your service. But again, the Lord will be silent. 3 years the Lord spoke. It was like a warning. I did not know it was a warning because I did not understand what the Lord was trying to say. The third time when the Lord spoke, the third year, I knew that because that was the year my business went on a terrible loss. I lost a lot of money. And you see, I was just crying, Lord, why? I pray, I give my tithes, I spend so much of money for the ministry and things like that. Why? You should not bring this loss to me. Then the third time the word is coming, once again from same Haggai, the Lord is speaking to me. I said, Lord, please tell me the meaning of this. After 3 years I'm asking, please tell me the meaning of this. And the Lord gives me the meaning. As I'm praying, I get the understanding. Trees are people. You see, when Jesus healed the blind, the first time when the Lord touched his eyes and asked, how do the people look? People are looking like trees. You see? And the mountains are speaking about the kingdoms in this world. The Lord said, go to the kingdoms. Go to the kingdoms of this world. Cut the tree, means cut the man who's rooted on the earthly things and build me a temple. This is the understanding. Then I understood, Lord, what a fool I have been. Lord said, that's your problem. What a fool I have been, Lord. All these days I wasted my money, I wasted my income, I wasted my time. I didn't understand. Then I went on a very big loss. I didn't know what to do. I came to Mumbai, but always tempted to go back. You see, I was not an easy person to deal with, you know. It was only the Lord who could deal with me. And I'm not ashamed to confess this. Because I was a really troublesome kid. Yeah. So the Lord had a call. It would have been so beautiful. Now see, I'm here in Singapore after 24 years. Maybe if I had obeyed the Lord, I would have come a long time back. I had to go through a long way. And God had to take me with His, you know, with the rod in His hand. He has to hit me everywhere, part by part, to make me obey His word. Then a time came when I came to the northern side of India where my wife is, Mumbai. And there I was really tempted to go. Because you know, the Lord brought us here. When the Lord, after the third time He spoke to me, Lord did something. He put in the heart of the chief minister of Tamil Nadu to cancel all the cutting orders. There was no cutting orders. When I came to Mumbai, once again, I received news from some of the timber agents. Yes, now our chief minister has given the orders. We can cut the logs. So I was very tempted. I said, let me run back. I landed in Coimbatore, the cutting orders once again closed. I will not forget what that man, you know, the person who cuts the logs and gives me, he's a very big, rich merchant, you know, timber merchant. I went to him. He looked at me like I said, you come. I said, yes. My old name is Arjun, you know. Arjun means something related to thunder. He said, Arjun, there is something really wrong with you. You better go and ask your God. You see, I said, what is he trying to say? What are you saying here? Whenever you come, the cutting order gets closed. Whenever you leave this place, the cutting order, again, it opens. It's clear. The route is clear. Something the Lord wants to talk to you, better go and ask your God. Oh, it was like a slap on my face. I ran back again. I came back to Mumbai. I said, Lord, I'm not turning once again. But now, I'm empty. I came back to Mumbai. And something which Brother Gann does not know, and many of the people does not know, except for my wife and my family. In that icy colony, I don't know whether you remember the fish market, the marketplace in Pastor Hubert's church area. Mm-hmm. That marketplace, I was just walking. I came back from Coimbatore. I said, Lord, I'm broken. Everything I've lost everything. I have nothing in my hands today. And I was just walking. And the market is so busy. People selling fish. And all vegetables. And it was like, you know, it was the main, just in the side of the road. You see, I was just walking. And tears running down my eyes. I said, Lord, I failed you so many times. Now I don't know what I have to do. I have nothing, no bank balance. Zero. I said, I've just come here now. I don't even understand where I am. And I was just crying and crying, and I saw a bus coming, you see. I told this to the Lord. Lord, if you want me, please permit that bus to come and hit on me and let me die, because I cannot commit suicide. I may go to hell. So you permit the bus to come and he will kill me here. Finish me. Actually, you know, that was a word which I spoke of myself. I did not know that I was speaking about myself. That was the day I actually died to myself, to my all my own things that I was doing. I said, Lord, I wish this bus will come and hit. So I was just trying to go close to the road and a little afraid also, but just standing. Let the bus come and hit me. And I was crying and I was weeping, and many people were just looking at me. They must have thought I'm a mad fellow. I don't care. You see, in all that busy place with all that noise of bus and market, of people selling and things like that, a still voice comes to me. Go back to Coimbatore. I will lift you up from that place. I will lift you up from the place where you have fallen. And my brothers and sisters, what a voice that was. That's why I still believe that God speaks. Amen. Message believers just always look at the books. God can only speak to the prophet. Who said so? Moses himself told Joshua, Joshua, I wish every one of God's children are prophets. Didn't he say to Joshua? Joshua comes and complains, Lord, many of them are prophesying. Moses said, why? Let them. I wish that all God's children, they will prophesy, they are God's prophets. You see, God speaks to His children. If we desire God, if God has called us, what I'm trying to say is, if God has called us to something, He will see that He will accomplish that. We cannot fight God. We cannot fight God. I said, Lord, you want me to go back to Coimbatore? Now I was a little wise. I didn't want to make God angry. After I heard this voice, within 2 days' time, Brother Gann arrived for a convention. See, I said, okay, let me go and talk to Brother Gann about all these things and, you know, I'll tell him what happened. So I went and met him in the room, and I was all in a broken state. Brother Gann saw me and heard all my story, but I didn't tell him, you know, what happened in the marketplace. That was only one thing which I didn't tell Brother Gann. I just kept quiet. Because I know God has to confirm, see, from two or three witnesses, through their mouths, the Lord will confirm what He has spoken. So I just waited. I prayed. This was one thing I never told him. Brother Gann, listening to all the stories, said, okay, let's pray. He started to pray, and after prayer was over, he said, Brother Shadrach, the Lord is telling me that you go back to Coimbatore. He lift you up from the same place where you fell. Hallelujah. I want to hear a loud hallelujah.
Amen.
Because that is why I'm standing here. You see, it was a confirmation from His mouth. And there was another minister. I was very happy when I got the confirmation. I said, oh, the same exact words which I heard in the market, the same words are coming from His mouth. And I did not tell him. So this, God is confirming that I have to commit my life fully to the Lord. And there was another minister who calls me and tells, Brother Shadrach, I've been praying for you. The Lord is telling you to go back to Coimbatore. That was a great joy. I went to Coimbatore with nothing in my hands. Broken down. There were times I had gone. I and my mother, we both, those days I was not married. So I and my mother just, you know, praying. We have been empty so many days. Empty stomachs. So many days. There won't be food. You see, because I just have to trust. The Lord told me, just have to trust in me. And I had to take it. I took it as my punishment. Today, Lord, there is no food. I know. You're teaching me something. You want to tell me something? So we remained, there were, and there was one time we fasted for 8 days, you see. We didn't plan for 8 days. I and my mother just went for fasting, and those were the days when Dalton Bruce and Ronald Watson had written all, you know, they had put a track, and I think you must have read it all in Brother Gant's website. And nearly 5,000 tracks they printed against me personally, and they circulated in many places. You see? So, in one way I was happy because it was a free advertisement for me. People didn't know me, people had come to know about me. But in another way, you know, my heart was really burdened and I was crying to the Lord. And what happened was, after finishing our fasting, you see, the Lord told us, you know, you finish your fasting. Your days of fasting is of sorrow is over. I have answered your prayer. Because I'm asking the Lord, Lord, you should open a door now. You should open a ministry for me. If you call me, then you have to send me. So then after finishing, when we were about to finish our fasting, I asked my mother, Mommy, what should we finish our fasting with? And my mother started to laugh. She said, there's nothing. I said, okay, let's be silent and quiet, and we just pray. You know, the house, we were taking a rental place, and it's not like this kind of apartment. It's all independent houses in India. You find with a lot of space, you have gardens and things like that. So, suddenly one neighbor was calling, using my name, and calling my mother. She wanted to talk to my mother. She said, my mother went back. She said, behind there is a jackfruit tree. You didn't see, there are so two big jackfruits which have come. And you know, it was out of season. It was not a time for the jackfruits to come. It was the month of October. And usually in India, we have jackfruits after April. I said, the month of October, two big jackfruits. And he said, it has come from the root, and it will be the tastiest fruit. So I finished one whole big of jackfruit, and there were two, you see. My mother finished one. That's how we ended up fasting. And then I received an email from Brother Gan, telling me, Brother Shadrach, somebody has, within 2 days, somebody called me to Andhra Pradesh, the state of Andhra Pradesh. I have recommended you, please, you should go. See, that was the opening for the ministry work for me there in India. Hallelujah. So what I want to say is that the grace God calls people, by grace, a minister is called to serve the Lord. And Paul makes the things very clear. He makes very clear that, you know, the Lord called him, and it was confirmed through many other people. So this grace is what I've been talking today. That this fivefold ministry, let's see the powerful work of the fivefold ministry today. The book of Ephesians, let's go once again to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, the 11th and the 12th verse. Somebody can read.
And he gave some apostles,
yes,
some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers.
Okay. So God has made this fivefold ministry so beautiful. From the fivefold ministry, the Lord has seven words. Now the 12th verse says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This fivefold ministry is bringing the total body of Christ into perfection. Yes, Brother Branham's ministry was powerful. No doubt about it. Yes, Brother Branham's ministry brought the church back to the apostolic foundation. But when the bride comes back to the foundation, now she has God takes her to another level. God takes her to a higher dimension. And that is done only through the fivefold ministry. You see, even Brother Branham, I don't blame Brother Branham, but he was also a man who was learning. When I made some certain study from some of his quotes in the recent days and recent months, until 1959, Brother Branham was continually using the word Trinity. I have seen that in all his quotations, you know, the third person of the, may the third person of the Trinity come. and work here. May the third person of the Trinity come and fill this place. Until 1959. After 1961, I don't see those quotes anymore. So something has happened from 59 to 60. I think that is the time when he actually spoke about the church ages. Maybe Brother Branham was making a study from 1959 to 60. He made a study on the church ages and he found out that Trinity is come from the devil. He cannot, no more we can use the word Trinity. When he realized it, that was the time that many of the denomination churches started to completely reject its ministry. He said, there is no more Trinity. Trinity is from the devil. It is one Almighty God. And I start to see all these quotes are so powerful only after 1961. So, even Brother Branham was learning. When we go and talk to the entire message people and say, Brother Branham was learning, oh, that's it. That is a big volcano, there's a big fire, there's an earthquake. What is wrong to say Brother Branham was learning? He himself writes in church ages as a student of the Bible. What is the meaning of student of the Bible? He writes, he makes it, makes a point in the quotes, in the church age book, say, as a student of the Bible. Student is somebody who's learning. The prophet was learning. Did he complete everything? No. They take the cloud. So this cloud has come. And they completely finish the matter. They said this is that, that's it. This is the end of it. Everything is over. There is no more revelation. If there is no more revelation, then either you are dead or God is dead. There can be only two. And we know that God is not dead. Then the people who say that they are dead. What about the foolish virgins? That's what they're saying. Our oil is over. Our lamps are gone out. What is that? They said there is no more revelation. Our oils are gone out. That is what they are trying to say. Our oils are gone out. Our lamps are no more burning. Why once people decide it is only the books of Brother Branham, it's over. God speaks to his children. God continues to speak through this wonderful ministry because the men are gifts given to the church. The apostles are gifts. The prophets are gifts. The evangelists, pastors and teachers, they are the gifts given to the bride of Christ. There's a pastor 5 hours from Coimbatore, a place called Trichy. You know, there's a place called Ordinance Factory where I've established a second church. A brother was a Roman Catholic. I was conducting some meetings. A brother was a Roman Catholic. And he actually came to fight with me the day, and I did not know that he had these intentions. And I was just preaching. I was on fire that day. I was preaching very hard about Roman Catholicism and the denomination system, and he came when the preaching was half done. And I don't know. The Lord did something, you know. His heart just melted. When the preaching was over, I was just looking at him. I said, brother, you actually came to create problem, but the Lord has tested you and you're ready for baptism. He lifted up his hand. The next day he was baptized. And he's a man who's so strong standing in that place in the second church which we established, you see. And he's really taking a strong stand. In that church, there is another end time message pastor. That pastor does not believe that God can speak. And I don't know how he is a pastor. But I'm very sorry for him, you see. He's a nice man. But he just does not believe that God can speak. But in other ways, he's a nice man. Whoever goes to his home, he treats them nice, you know. So he was telling, what is the Shadrach coming and preaching? Something new. He had stopped baptism. He had stopped, giving communion. So many people started to come to my fellowship. When he saw that, he was a little bit, shaken up. Then he decided, people are leaving the church, so he brought a new law. Whoever are interested to have communion, I will give them communion. Whoever wants to be baptized, I will baptize them. Because you know now people are leaving the church. So he goes around and he has told people, God cannot speak. What Shadrach goes and always comes and tells, I saw a vision, I saw a dream. I said, Joseph also was dreaming. He was dreaming, and all his dreams one day came to pass. See? So God speaks through the word, through the revelation. God speaks to his children today. He said, I don't believe. He said, I'm a pastor for 25 years. Not even one time God has spoken to me. I said, that is his problem. Because he does not believe God will speak, so why should God speak to him? God is not going to break his head. You don't want, you're saying, oh, God is not going to speak. So God is not going to speak because you believe it. You confess it. And God cannot speak. But God speaks to those who believe that God will speak. We go to him, we seek his face, and he is there, he is ready to answer us. Hallelujah. So many questions are that Brother Branham has just left many things undone. I mean to say in preaching, not his work.
Right.
His work was perfect. What was given to him? He has completed everything. He's not going to come back.
No.
People are waiting for him. Like, you know, like Saul went to meet Samuel. Say, let me go and find Samuel. And Samuel had to come. And a witch had to call Samuel. Oh. Today people may be thinking, oh, we need Samuel to come back. Brother Branham should come back again. See, that's the same spirit. The spirit of Saul. Because why? God was not speaking to Saul. So he had to go. And look at the, he had to go and seek the guidance of a witch. See? So if God is not speaking, so the people who now want Brother Branham to come back, it means God has stopped speaking to them.
Right.
So they are seeking some other measures. He will come back again. Tent ministry, coming back again ministry. Yes, Brother Branham will come back again on the day of resurrection, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we are all going to meet him. And we are going to say hello and thank him. Yeah? But the time is coming. Today, the Lord is speaking through the fivefold ministry, saying to the perfecting of the saints. Hebrew chapter 4 and the 12 and the 14th verse.
For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
Yes. Now is the time that God, yes, I'll come back to that scripture. Now is the time that God wants to perfect the saints. When we say perfecting of the saints, it's not just that you hear the truth, but through the spirit of the word, so that that message comes, that it cuts you down, it breaks you, and the Lord will mold you and make you the person whom the Lord wants you to be. That is perfecting. The perfection was in Brother Branham's sign. The rapture would have taken place at the time. And why would Brother Branham in the end of the times, you know, in the last days, he started to say, if there is going to be a generation after us, there shall be a supersede. Because he knew that generation which was with him is not going to be the supersede. Whenever there is a message, when you know, Moses was pointing, look there is Canaan, the land of Canaan, the land of promise. It means that's far away. Never did Brother Branham's messages was to prepare and see and make us turn our hearts and go and look unto the face of Jesus Christ. But only when we come to the feet of Jesus Christ can we be made perfect.
Amen.
And that perfection comes through the message of the fivefold ministry. The Lord is taking us close to him. What do we see on the mount? Peter, James and John, the Lord takes them to that mountain. And there the Lord has a He shows them what the transformation is. Peter, John, James, all are sleeping. They get up and Peter goes to, he's just blabbering. He said, Lord, one tabernacle for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you. Because Peter is thinking that Jesus, Moses and Elijah are in the same level. No. When he said that, these two people were gone. And it says there was no one else but Jesus. God wants us to look at Jesus. People say, oh, the ministry of Moses has come, ministry of Elijah has come. Yes, it has come and it is gone. But who remains? Jesus remains.
Amen.
His word remains. His truth remains. So this perfecting of work, now this is speaking about the inward man. What happens with this two-edged sword is actually small in size. Now when I just made a little study of this two-edged sword, I found out that it's a small sword. It's not that those long ones which the kings used to use when they're sitting on a horse and go and cut. You see, for that they need a long sword. But this two-edged sword is something like the soldiers who are fighting the battle in the thickest, you know, in the close. Those are the people, they use the two-edged sword. Because you cut here and you don't need to turn the knife. You see, you cut this side. It cuts both the sides. This was the knife which was actually used by the priest to bring the sacrifice, the offerings. Let's read the scripture in the book of Exodus chapter 29, 17 to 18. The book of Exodus chapter 29, 17 to 18.
And thou shalt cut the ram in pieces, and wash the inward of him and his limbs, and put them into his pieces and unto his head. And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savour, an offering made by fire unto the Lord.
Hallelujah. The priest will take the offering, keep it upon the altar, take the two-edged sword, and he will just cut it without mercy, taking out all the inward parts. And all the inward parts are kept upon the altar. Just with the blood. What does this show? This is how the word of God should perfect us. Taking all, when we place ourselves upon the altar, when we listen to the word, because it's the work of the priest, it is the work of the priest. So today, through the fivefold ministry, the Lord is bringing people to subjection, to the altar. They come to the altar where the Lord will cut all the inward parts, all the thoughts, all that is against the Lord, all that is not pleasing to the Lord. Everything has to come out so that that person will be made perfect. Today, the world is more and more technology. You see, you know, the people are just going crazy. Something which I didn't see in India, I saw here in Singapore when I just go into the train. You see, everybody over in their cell phones. Nobody is talking to anyone. You see, everybody, they come like that. And I get scared whether they come and bang, but they are so perfect, they know everything. You know, where to go and stand and just looking down at the cell phone. You see, this technology has taken people to another level, but we people should not get carried away by all those things. We just use them. But we bring our heart, soul and mind before the altar. Because God wants to perfect the saints. Mm-hmm. We cannot get carried away by the things of the world. The days will come, the days will come, the time is coming. This day will become more and more filthy and dirty, and darkness is covering this earth. But we as children of God come to the altar, place ourselves there. So God will perfect us. And how can you come to the altar? Only through the ministry and the message of the fivefold ministry. God is bringing the people. God is gathering His people and bringing them to the altar. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Then there, fivefold ministry. The next point we will just see. I'll just explain. I'll finish it fast. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4. Yes. And the 12th verse. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, the work of the ministry, it is for the gospel to go, the truth to go. It is for the work, and God does the work mightily. I've seen mighty things happen. To testify, I remember, you see, I went to a place called Gabriel Nagar in Trichy. You know, that place, Trichy, is full of, more people are all Roman Catholics, you see. And that was a village ruled by the Roman Catholic Church. There were 72 or 75 members who are part of a church, and the church has given them, the church land has been distributed to all the families, and they work in the farms, and whatever they work and all those money, you know, they earn from that, a certain portion they have to give every year to the church. That is how it goes. And I was taken by this brother, John Kennedy. He says, "Brother, my relatives are there. You please come." As I went there and I was just preaching the word of God, I just stood up and I'm preaching. One sister started to, I took a very simple message, because Nobody has brought their Bible in their hands. So I knew they don't know anything about the Bible. Because Roman Catholic Church never encourages people to read the Bible. Because if you read the Bible, you know that they are wrong. So they tell people, don't read the Bible. You see? Because they are there, their names are written there, you know, for judgment. So they know that. See, even in the Roman Catholic Bible, in the Tamil version, in the book of Revelation chapter 17, where it is said, you know, she's a great city who rules the world. The last scripture, the footnote is given Rome. You see, it is there in the Roman Catholic Bible. And so these people, they didn't have any Bible. So I just had to take the word, read your Bible. This was my very simple message. As I started to preach this, there was a sister sitting in the front, just started to cry. Cry in the sense, you know, her heart broke. Just because I preached, read the Bible. Because she later on told me she has never read the Bible in her life. Said that was too hard. The Holy Spirit was dealing with her heart. You know, she started to scream and cry. I recorded her voice. It's not in this mobile, the other mobile. I had to stop preaching for some time. Nearly for 15 minutes she was crying. You know, and then after she cried, sister, are you okay? She said, yes, I'm okay. There were about 35 to 40 people had gathered. After this incident, I said, okay, I'm going to continue to preach. As I was preaching, I saw a woman just walking away. The Holy Spirit told me she has a demon. Because when I looked at her, she was not looking at my eyes, you know, just going like this. And she went and sat in a corner. The service, I was just preaching. My heart was telling me that God is going to do something. I just finished preaching. She got up, she said, praise the Lord, everybody, but she did not look at my face. She just ran out. When she ran out, I was just looking, Lord, are you going to do something? I just looked like that. She fell near the door. You see? And she was lying up like that. And everybody came running to me. They said, brother, pastor, something, what has happened to her? This brother, John Kennedy, asked me. I said, brother, she's having a spirit. I saw that when she entered the church. So, what should we do? I said, if they want me to pray, I'll pray. So he said, okay, brother, for my sake, you come, please come. Though the villagers were not happy, they said, what pastor is saying that she's having a demon? She's the first woman who takes mass in the church. The father gives that holy mass to her. So I just looked at the brother and said, then imagine how big demon must be in that father. He cannot understand. You see, he does not have the Holy Spirit. And the woman with the demon is giving mass. It means all are all one. Together, they are all together. That is not a holy mass, that is not a communion of Jesus Christ. That's a communion of the devil. So this sister was lying down, just breathing. And suddenly I saw there was a doctor, you know, an assistant of the doctor's assistant had come. I think somebody had called. They said, she's having high pressure. So he came with an injection. I said, what are you going to do? He said, no, I'll give her the injection, she will relax. I said, in 1 minute's time, I'm going to prove to you that she's having a demon. If she has a demon, it's not your job, it's my job. So he just looked at me like that because he was a Hindu and he didn't understand what I'm trying to say. So I just said, Lord, in your name. I just went, kept my hand like this up. She was lying down. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's all. Then I said that, woo, she got up. You see, and her tongue was out, just like a snake, and started to hiss like a snake, like that, you know. And it was so terrible. And I turned back to see the doctor's assistant, he was gone. I asked, what happened? He said, he got scared and he ran away. He thought that you're a magician. Because you just kept your hands like this and she's wriggling like a snake. And that's when I chased that spirit. The Lord, before chasing that spirit, he revealed to me that it is there with her for so many years. So about 25 families were there. I told them that she's having a spirit for a long time. They said, no chance. She's such a wonderful singer in the church. She sings. She prays. I said, I don't know about all that. I don't know to whom she's praying, but she has a demon. And it is there for 35 years. For many years. If you want me to chase, I will chase. Or else I'm going back. So many of the villagers were in disagreement. But the son came to me. He said, beg me. He said, pastor, I want my mother. Now I realize. Because she used to speak a lot of bad words and shout at us. I never understood why. And you know, when the spirit comes inside her, she gets so much of energy that she works so fast. The work which is to be done in 2 hours, she will finish it in half an hour. So she's such a kind of energy comes into her. I never understood from my days I was born, from the day I started to call her mother, I never knew that, you know, she had the spirit. Please. And then there were other people who were begging me, saying that three people, that is three pujaris, we call it that pujari means, you know, the Hindu priest who worship their gods, you know, they are like, you know, they go to the temple to do all the worship. These priests will come and their three people have come to chase, and all the three people, she looked at them and the spirit will come inside. They came to chase. It looks right into the eyes and said, in 3 days' time, you're going to die. And all three of them are dead. So do you want to take the risk? I said, I'm not come here to take the risk, but my Jesus has already won the battle on the cross. So I believe in Him. I don't have anything to fear about that. You want to give me a chance, give me a chance. And they gave me a chance. And within, I just prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, let her come to consciousness. I just want to talk to her something. It took five minutes. She was just normal. And she said, brother, she said, I said, sister, are you normal now? Yes, brother. And then I told her, sister, this is your problem. If you have faith and you want the spirit to go, I will pray for you. She said, yes, brother, it's a very dangerous spirit. There are still three priests. So, I'm really getting scared. I said, you don't worry about that. I said, even I'm not powerful, but my Jesus is powerful. You see, my Jesus is the most powerful person on this whole earth, in the whole universe. So, I'm not worried about it. She said, okay. I told her, just sit down quietly in your bed. She sat on the bed. And I said, in Jesus' name, go. When I said that, you know, this black thing over here, both the black, I mean, what do you call that?
Pupil, yes.
Both went up. And eyes went, I cannot do that. It was only white here. Just white. And she just staring at me. So I told the devil, don't look, go. You see? And that very moment, she was released. Completely released. After she was released, she was so happy. So much, you know. After this incident, I used to go to her home to conduct prayer. And the fathers used to come to spy. They come and stand near the door. And they just try to disturb. So I tell the sister, tell him also to come. Let him also listen to the word. Tell the fathers to come inside. So when she said, pastor is calling you, please come. They said, no, we just came to see what's going on. And slowly, you know, they started to black mine. They said, if you go there to the church, if you invite that pastor, we are going to completely stop everything. You know, whatever we have been doing to you from the Roman Catholic Church, we will stop. And it was a very tough thing for her. But you see, the Lord and many of the people, the elders from the village came and they begged me. They said, please don't come to our village anymore. You see, I said, I have come here. I have spoken the truth. And God's work has been proved with signs and wonders. You people are responsible on the day of judgment. You see, the Lord still works today. Hallelujah. There are many mighty things which I can say, because in my place there are a lot of Hindus and a lot of people who have this idol worship, and they have gone into all kind of astrology, witchcraft and things like that, you know. So this is one of my important work there, you know. Wherever we go, we just have to keep on chasing demons, you know. That is a very big problem actually. I don't want that. But when we go there, somewhere, some demon, most of the places, all the serpent spirits, you know, they get exposed. So, God has been doing and God will continue to do the work. So, it is like, you know, this perfection, not just the perfecting of the saints, but the work of the ministry through wonders the Lord is doing for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, the fivefold ministers go from one church to another. It is like a body. You see, Brother James Veramu comes here. Brother Richard Gann comes to India. He goes to Africa. You see, these strengthen. The fivefold ministry is given to strengthen the body of Christ. Those who want perfection, those who want to get close to God, those who want to get that rapturing faith, those who want that truth, you see, those who want to really live for the Lord, they are being edified by the fivefold ministry. Then the 13th verse, till we all come in the unity of faith. Faith is something very important at this time. Many people can see, you can believe, but you may not have faith. You can believe in the right doctrines, but you may not have that faith. Their disciples also, they were in the boat with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, let us go to the other side. And they went to the other side. When they were going, there was a big storm. And Jesus was sleeping. You see, and his disciples were so scared. They came, Lord, is it your will that we should perish? You see, they heard, they saw what the Lord did. They have seen, they were looking at his ministry. But they did not have the complete faith on him. The Lord was lying down and sleeping. What does that mean? The Lord had so much of trust in God. Amen. Hallelujah. He knew nothing would happen. So he got up and told the winds and the breeze to be quiet. And they were quiet. He said, where is your faith? He rebuked them. You see, faith is something, it's something practical. We have to put our faith, you know, we need to put our trust in Jesus Christ. When Jesus was walking on the waters and Peter was in the boat, Peter wanted to walk in the waters. You see, the Lord said, come. Just the word come. And Peter, when he put his trust and kept his legs on the waters, he just started to walk. The problem was, instead of looking at Jesus, when he looked at the wave, he fell down again. We should always put our faith on Jesus Christ. That is what Paul says. He is the beginner and he is the finisher of our faith. Brother Branham did not start our faith. Or John Wesley did not start our faith, begin our faith. Or nobody. Everybody are men who just deliver the word. Deliver the message or deliver what God has to say. But when the message comes into your heart and you believe that message and you want to take that practically, you want to live that life and show that faith, you know, God starts to work. Amen. This is what happens. We need a lot of faith at this time. There was a time when one boy was, you know, he was little mental. We went to the mental hospital. Really required a little lot of faith, you see, to heal this person. Because when you go to the mental hospital, especially in India, in the government hospital, you don't know who's the staff inside. Because everybody looks like a mental patient. Because the staff's also dealing with the mental people. They also... I and another brother, we were invited by one father. Said, my son met with an accident. He cannot speak. He's like nearly like a coma stage. You please come and pray. So I and one brother went inside. There were nearly 10 people calling us, come inside, they said. So we were getting a little scared because we don't know who's the staff or who's the mental person. Everybody is standing near the bed. And then again, when we are looking, come, they said, everybody with one voice. So I said, I was there with another brother. I said, brother, let's just walk out. Because we cannot identify who's the mental patient here. So let's wait outside. So we waited outside until the father came out. And the father said, let's go inside. So we went inside. 1 week. It nearly took me 1 week to really bring that person to normal. The first day I prayed, I said, I know that you are listening, but you don't have, you cannot talk. You know, he couldn't even move his eyelids. Just like that. Looking at me. I said, but I know you are listening. So listen. So I just started to speak about the love of Jesus Christ. With simple faith, whatever. I said, Lord, now this thing has to be done with my faith. I'm having faith on you. Now I know that the boy cannot have faith. He's not in that condition. Just pray, Lord. So I and that brother Prakash was with me, we both prayed. And the second day when I went, I could see his, you know, moving his fingers. Once again I spoke about Jesus and I prayed. The third day I went, he was actually sitting up. The fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, he asked me, Pastor, will you come again tomorrow? I said, tomorrow you'll be discharged. The next day morning we went, we saw the doctor said he has become perfectly alright. He can go home. So then I told him, now you need to listen to something. You can hold your Bible in your hands. You can walk. Now listen to this. And I told him about Acts 2:38. Hallelujah. And I took him to the water. I baptized him. And you know, he went home happily. Praise the Lord. The Lord did this work. And there was another person whom I went to meet. All these things, you know, works of faith. I just had to say, there was another man, one pastor said, brother, I'm going to introduce you to a wonderful person. I said, okay. I went with him, nearly 25 kilometers. We went and we saw, he said, this is the person. And that person said, he said. Then I said, oh, I said, Pastor, he cannot talk. Ah, yeah, he cannot talk, he cannot hear. I said, oh my. He cannot talk, he cannot hear. How am I going to preach this room? You said you are introducing me to a wonderful person. Okay, in God's sight, everyone are wonderful souls. So let me not criticize it. So I went and I had his mother was communicating, you know, with hand signs. I don't know what to do, so they just taught me little things to show them. And she was communicating with that. I went, I prayed over him, I came back home. And after a lot of prayer, he said, Lord, I should go somehow. I want this message to go to that man. Something really happened, you know. You couldn't believe it. Even I didn't believe that. I went there the second time and I was just, really nearly in tears to the brother who came with me. I said, brother, I don't know how to communicate. He cannot, he reads the English Bible, you know, till 8th standard, I think. He has studied, but something happened to him that he lost his senses. said, brother, how to communicate to him? It's very difficult for me to every time write it down. So let's put our faith in God. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. I went to the home and I told the mother, they welcomed me very nice and he was very happy to receive me. So I told, I called the mother, I said, can you translate for me? He has been reading the Bible. How did he come to know the Bible? I asked. He said, there is a boy just like him who cannot talk and who cannot hear. In sign actions, he told him about Jesus and he accepted Jesus Christ. Don't you think that's a miracle? That's why this testimony I told in many churches. I said, you people have ears, but you don't want to listen. You have mouth, but you don't want to confess God's name. You see, what a big judgment it is going to be on the great day. This boy, just by hearing, you know, with the action that another friend came and told him about Jesus, you know, putting the cross like that, he died, he, you know, they nailed him, they, like that and all, he has spoken and this man accepted and he started to read the Bible. I said, good, now he has to be baptized according to Acts 2:38. So I kept that in mind. So I told his mother, just tell him he has to be baptized. So the mother went to him, said, like that, you know, catching the rose. Go down. Pastor wants you to be baptized. He said, So the mother went and took the Bible. He was asking for the Bible. He opened the scriptures and told me, read. I read, I was shocked. He's showing Acts 2:38. He's saying, if you can, he's telling in the sign language, if tell the pastor, if you can baptize me according to this scripture, I will get baptized. My eyes were, I was just crying. I said, Lord, when we put our trust in you, how you work in such miraculous, marvelous ways, what should I say? I don't have words. I was just crying. And I said, how did he ask him, how does he know the scripture? He said, my friend, the same boy who, you know, cannot talk like him. He said, there's a meeting convention, you come. So the pastors had come in a group and all, they are laboring for such people, you know. They all put in a last row to sit down quietly. They cannot hear the music. They cannot speak. They just sit down and watch what's going on. That time when the pastors were writing, the pastors were mentioning about some scriptures. Maybe they were taking scriptures about the day of Pentecost, how the Holy Spirit came. They told the congregation to read the second chapter. As this brother went on reading, he started to read the whole chapter. He came to Acts 2:38. And the Spirit spoke to him that you should be baptized in this, according to this. You see, he said, and I have been praying to the Lord that God will bring a man who will baptize me according to Acts 2:38. Are you baptizing me in this? He asked me. You see, that was a great miracle. You see, when we put our trust, when we believe, we have faith. See, when we take this ministry, just have faith. We don't need to see who is there, who's the seed. We just have to do our work. And God brings the seed. You see, he may bring it immediately or it may take time. But God will bring a seed because God is working. The fivefold ministry will go till the rapture. Only close when the seven thunders appear. That is when the seven thunders start to utter. That will be the only time. You see, that is the time. Until the time, this fivefold ministry has to continue. So we see, the Lord is bringing unity of the faith. So we come into the same unity. We come into the same mind. Because they were of one heart and one mind. The apostles, they were not separated. They were together. Though they had little difference here and there. But they stayed together in love. Because they knew the value of unity. And today, all these churches, court preaching churches, they have split all the churches completely. You see, and Brother Branham labored to bring a bride in unity. But all his work seems to be in vain. But it is not in vain, God knows. God is working with the next generation. God is working with the people. You see, those who left Egypt did not go into Canaan, but those who were born in the wilderness, who did not see the direct ministry of Moses, they entered the land. God is working to bring us all into the same unity and of the knowledge of the Son of God. When you receive the knowledge of the Son of God, it is like you come, you become brethren, we become brothers. Because you see, the Son of God, when you say Son of God, this is the overcoming experience. This is something we look at the perfection, the perfect beauty in Jesus Christ. He is our role model. We are men. We may have flaws. We may do some mistakes. But there is a beauty beyond description in Jesus Christ. Amen. So when we have the complete knowledge of the Son of Man, who's taking the bride to them? The fivefold ministry is taking the bride to them. Unto a perfect man, because Jesus Christ is the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. As believers, we start as disciples. What is the fullness of Christ? As believers, we start as disciples. Then from disciples, a time comes when we become friends. Jesus is saying, you are no more my disciples, they shall be my friends. Because, for two reasons. One, I'm giving my life for my friends. And two, all that the Father has revealed to me, I'm telling you. You see, Abraham was a friend of God. Because Abraham knew God's plan and God's purpose. As Brother Gann was speaking on the Bible study, he asked a question, When will the rapture, will the earthquake in California, Los Angeles happen after the rapture or before the rapture? People may say, oh, it's after the rapture. No. When Abraham, when three people come, they come to meet Abraham. They come. And one, he recognizes Lord. He says, Lord. And they come, they have a sweet communion. They have a sweet fellowship. And a promise of renewal of his body, the promise of a son, is given to Abraham. And as God, the Lord is moving away. Abraham, the Lord knew that Abraham is very inquisitive to know where the Lord is going again. So the Lord said, can I hide something from my servant Abraham? Can I hide something from Abraham? The Lord is saying, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. When Abraham was standing in the process of being renewed, that is the time Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. And Abraham saw with his eyes when Sodom and Gomorrah was being destroyed. So the prophecy is, if Brother Branham has prophesied about Los Angeles going into the sea, then the bride will see that. That's the time, that's a shaking. That's the period, that's a shaking time. Amen. Where all awareness is being created among the bride. That we know that the time has come. So from disciple is somebody who just obeys, who does not know the will of the Lord, but he just has to obey. Listen, sit down. Stand up. Walk. You have to walk. Now you cannot, when you are a disciple, you cannot ask questions. Because God knows your brain cannot take it, your heart cannot take it. But as we become close to the Lord and become a friend of God, then the Lord knows now these people are becoming mature, they can understand. The Lord starts to reveal. Now you can ask questions. Why? When? What? Why, Lord? Why are you doing this? Lord, can't you extend a little more time? You see, with holy boldness we can ask because we have started to become close with God. But then there is another position. That is the final, where Jesus, after his resurrection, he meets Mary Magdalene and tells, go tell my brethren that I go to my Father and their Father, my Lord and their Lord. This is the position. This brethren is something like you become part, you get the nature of Christ. You receive all that Jesus received from the Father, the bride receives. This is the place where this is the fullness of Christ. The perfect nature, it comes, the perfect love, it comes to the church. And the true bride of Christ is full of revival. We are waiting for the time. And as Brother was saying yesterday, the Lord of world events are just going to change. Ezekiel battle and things and people's eyes are all focused on that. When God will do a quick work among the bride and take her home. Hallelujah. The time is coming. There is going to come a pressure. From the World Council of Churches. Before the rapture. Really there is going to be a testing time. And I believe those who are not part of the fivefold ministry, they are not going to get the strength. It is not going to be an easy day. All these years, God had given us grace to prepare. Maybe we had some little problems here and there. But the problem which is going to come in the last days is going to be terrible. That is what I just speak one scripture and we are going to finish it. The 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. And the 13th verse, but rejoice in as much as they are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, they may be glad also with exceeding joy. Peter is speaking about a present trial which is going to come. He said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Every time, every age, every saint of God had a time of testing. Without passing the test, you cannot enter into glory. Without Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they went into the fire and then they came out alive, renewed and fresh. There has to be a time of trial where each and everyone's faith is tested. And I believe this. Many of the entire message pastors and ministries are going to fall. Because those testing days are going to be very difficult. You see, you need something, you need faith like Jesus Christ. You need faith like the disciples. When you read the book of Acts, it should make us cry. That they gave their lives so much. They sacrificed all for the sake of the gospel. Today people are more worried about rapture. My point is, let us be worried about living for Christ today.
Amen.
When rapture takes place and the Lord sees who are worthy for the rapture, He's going to take them. But for people like us, whether we live or we die, we are in Christ Jesus. Closing our eyes on this earth is opening our eyes in heaven. And we are going to see the face of Jesus Christ. So, today, there were some preachers, you know, I saw their message on the WhatsApp. Oh, rapture of the bride, rapture of the bride, rapture of the bride. They go on saying, okay, rapture of the bride, but how should the bride be? Rapture of the bride is not that you escape temptation, you escape trials and take a shortcut to go there. As John Bunyan writes in his book, there was a man who took a shortcut, he went there, right? And the angel opened the door and said, you know, where is the blood? He said, I've come to heaven. He said, where is the blood? So he's saying, what is blood? He said, which way did you come? He said, I took the shortcut to come fast. He said, you go back the same way and come through the long way. There you will see, find a place called Calvary. There you get the blood. Bring the blood. Or else you have no place. By the time the person came, the door was shut. You see, they think the books of Brother Branham is like instant coffee. Just take the water, put the coffee, drink it. Every message that Brother Branham brought, he brought it on his knees. He cried. He asked the Lord, Lord, guide my mind, guide my spirit, guide my heart. What I must deliver to the people. And every minister of God in the fivefold ministry should follow this example. You cannot just take all the books like instant coffee. Oh, there is no problem for the bride. Bride is going to go straight in the rapture. No! The scripture says there is going to come a fiery trial, which will test every heart, every ministry. Everything is going to be tested. Amen. And those who stand the trial, they go inside glory. We don't have the great tribulation. That we know that. But bride has the tribulation. Bride has temptation. Bride has troubles. And all sides. And let us come to the fivefold ministry. Let us believe that God is speaking, because God is speaking today. God, word is truth, and the truth has come to set us free. And through the work of the fivefold ministry, God is delivering a group of people. The Lord told Moses, if they don't listen to the first voice, they listen to the second. And the first voice was to deliver them from the bondage in Egypt, and the second voice is to deliver them from within. Because message people are in bondage within. They may have said, oh, I've come out of denomination, I've come out of all the things, but you are in bond inside. Only fivefold ministry can deliver you, because it is the power of the right hand of God. Because within the fivefold ministry are the secrets of the seven stars. And Jesus Christ, the right hand of God, is the fivefold ministry which has dashed the enemy. This fivefold ministry, this hand of the Lord, that is why Ezekiel sees this vision. He saw a hand in the vision. He's seeing a hand. He's saying, a hand came to me. But he did not know what that hand was. Then we see the book of Revelation chapter 10, that the hand was the hand of the mighty angel. And then the voice comes to John saying, John, go take the book from the hand which is on the angel who's standing on the sea and on the earth. Because there are two angels there, seventh angel and the mighty angel. The voice did not tell, go to the seventh. Though seventh angel gave his voice, but John is directed by the voice from heaven to go to the mighty angel, because that is Jesus Christ. Let the minister of God, every minister of God who goes to Jesus Christ directly, they can feed the people whom God has given them. Those who have gone to Jesus Christ and had an experience, not by just reading books, but by having experience in the Holy Ghost, in the true revelation, in looking upon the face of God, such people can really take the ministry forward. And the power of God, the power of right hand of God is in the fivefold ministry. May God bless you all. Let us all stand up. I just want to pray before I end. This is my last meeting in this trip.
Hallelujah.
Brother, you can also stand. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you.
Praise you, Lord. God of Abraham, let's all lift up our hands.
Amen.
You can all just hold your hands, brothers and sisters, as we stand together.
Hold it to one another's hands.
Yes. May God
Hallelujah.
Bring His grace. May the Lord who has shown His grace
Hallelujah.
Have mercy upon us. Amen. It is all His mercy and His grace that we stand.
Jesus.
If we can understand the truth today, it means that God is blessed us and opened our eyes to see the revelation.
Thanks, Lord.
And today we stand here united. Here we stand here to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints.
Amen.
The church did not start. The church did not start with seven angels. The church started with fivefold ministry. And it ends with fivefold ministry. I am the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end, saith the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you, Jesus, for giving this grace, for bringing this burning in our hearts, to bring this, Lord, grace in our hearts that we may see your wonderful work and your marvelous work and the things that you have been doing all these years, O Father. Lord, we are not worthy for it, but Lord, because of your precious blood, you stand here, O God. Holy God, you are, O Lord, a wonderful Father. You are a wonderful God who's been guiding us. You are, Lord, you are our shepherd, O Father. You lead us to the waters, to Lord, to the food that the sheep requires, O God.
Amen.
And Father, we know that today, O Father, you have lifted up shepherds according to your heart, O Father.
Amen.
You are against the shepherds, O Father, who don't do your will. But you also have shepherds, O Father, who lead your sheep, O Father, into that wonderful living waters.
Amen.
Oh God, I praise you and I worship you.
Thank you.
This ministry which has stood as a challenge, this prophetic revelation, oh Father, stood as a challenge all over the world, oh Father, in many places, breaking, and Lord, broken many, many, many demonic obstacles, oh Father.
Yes.
And today, oh Father, here we are, unite ourselves, oh Father. Lord, here we unite ourselves, one, oh God, in the Spirit, oh Father. Oh Father, we may be having ministries in different names, but we have the same Spirit, same revelation, same truth, oh Father, in your word. And we thank you for this grace. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that Singapore will see a revival soon, oh Father. Oh Father, that there will be many who come and flock and hear. Let us go to Zion, for there is the word of God. I pray there's a revival in India. I pray there's a revival in my place, Coimbatore. I pray there's a revival, oh God, in Africa, in all the parts of the world where the bride is, Lord, under the fivefold ministry. I pray that, oh Lord, you may pour your Spirit upon the ministers. Pour your Spirit mightily, oh Father, that mighty signs and wonders will happen. People will see, and all the darkness will be broken. In Jesus' name, we break the powers of darkness in this place. Oh, hallelujah. We break, oh Father, all the spirits which is, Lord, not permitting the people to come and pray. I pray, oh Father, that they will, Lord, like the spirit of Pharaoh, oh God, it is trying to keep them under bondage. But in Jesus' name, we pray, oh Father, that you will bring, oh Father, oh God, a complete victory. A complete victory in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
I just pray that many more ministers Father, will come and rise up. There will be many, O Father. When a farmer goes to work, he works alone. But on the day of harvest, he sees so many people with them. O Father, let all the laborers join together. So let all the laborers with one mind join together. O Holy Father, that heaven will come down, O Father Jesus. That heaven will come down. As in the days of Pentecost, heaven came down, O Father. We want that once again, O Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Prepare each and every one, O Father. Thank you that you gave me this chance to come and preach and testify, O Father. May the name of the Lord be blessed, O Father. In Jesus' name, I ask this prayer.
Amen.